Queensland had the highest arrest data of any state, according to the 2014 Crime Commission illicit drug data. Dr. Dan Donner is a steroid researcher, a PhD graduate from Griffith University, and he joins you now. Dr. Donner, good morning.
Good morning, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. How did you come to research steroids?
Initially, it was a team of researchers looking to find the safer alternative to traditional steroids, because for decades we've acknowledged that the risks of testosterone, that's the steroid we work with, that it's abuse, and we're looking for that safer sort of synthetic version of testosterone for use in men who are aging and can't produce their own testosterone anymore.
So this is there's a direct link between that and steroid use when they were younger?
It's not, but now that's what we're looking down the barrel of with the current population, the crisis we may be facing.
I want to talk about the health implications in just a moment, but I suppose when we talk about steroids on this show, we find it's very hard to talk to users. Did you find it hard to talk to steroid users yourself?
I think they are a little bit more secretive and keep their cards closer to their chest just because of the social cheating aspect, and sort of people wanting to keep private how they attain that physique that they have, and that does make them a little bit more secretive. But as a researcher, as soon as my role in research was more linked to steroid use, I did find that people are more forthcoming with their experiences, and they are generally quite negative, and they're not the sort of problems that people talk about normally in the media.
So can you expand on that a bit more?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, generally people are worried about things like the acne and hair growth that's associated with steroid abuse, but I think the more pervasive problem, the long-term issue is with that of fertility and that ability to produce testosterone anymore. Because once a user does start taking testosterone, that they are rendered unable to make their own testosterone. And that gets worse and worse the more they continue to abuse the drug.
Do you think that the community as a whole, do you think that we're aware of how many people use steroids recreationally?
I don't think it is discussed enough, and I really appreciate the airtime today to bring it to the front of the news again. It's not your bodybuilder and people who are competing on stage who are the typical users. It's generally the white-collar, blue-collar men who are the professionals in some regard who are just going to the gym two to three times a week, that sort of weekend warrior type. And it's far more pervasive than people.
And they're taking it because it helps them look bigger faster?
Generally speaking, that's the reason why people jump on it. I think the real problem is it's far too accessible these days to start a cycle, and people don't acknowledge the risks with just beginning. They don't acknowledge the fact that, well, they're not told that once they start, not only do they become addicted, they're very likely to become dependent on it physiologically. Like, they'll need to continue the treatment for potentially the rest of their lives if they're not under medical supervision.
Dr. Dan Donner is a steroid researcher. He's a PhD graduate from Griffith University, and he truly believes that we are in the middle of an epidemic of steroid use, and it doesn't often get the attention that it deserves, and given that ice seems to be the sexier drug to talk about, if you like. How fast can people bulk up? And if it is ridiculously quick, surely questions must be asked, and should there be more of an emphasis on people who run gyms to say, mate, are you okay? Are you looking after yourself the right way?
I think that's part of the potential solution. It's just having those people in key roles, opening the discussion with these users. I think people are able to jump on the drug far too easily, and it's that discussion that needs to start about what happens once you start. People are able to bulk up really quickly, as you say. So a typical cycle, as it's called, is something between 6 to 8 weeks. You can see pretty dramatic changes in these users. But people typically think they're going to do one cycle. That's about 90% of people who do start steroids are planning to do it once and jump off and be happy with the results. But it's not until they start to feel the effects, the mood swings, and the seeing that the body changes and the hunger and the sleep disturbances, but they start to ask the bigger questions about how is this going to affect me long term, and am I going to need to continue this treatment or continue this substance abuse to maintain health.
So basically you're saying that a small amount of steroid use can have long-term repercussions in terms of sexual dysfunction and fertility issues down the track.
Yeah, as well as things like cardiac problems, so heart problems, bone, mineral density issues. There's a lot of different ways that steroids, male sex hormones, contribute to our maintenance of health, so look after men long-term. And if we do disturb that, we are really looking at a dependency issue long-term.
Does the dependency come from, if I don't keep taking it, then all of a sudden these bad moods set in? Or is it more a mental thing that I want to keep looking this way? Where does that addiction stem from?
Well, I guess similar to other drug use, once the user stops taking the drug, they feel this, they're far more likely to experience things like depression and mood swings and antisocial behavior, sort of pulling away from society and friends and family. And that's where the sort of the risk is for people to feel the need to continue the treatment. The other problem is obviously once the steroids are stopped, their physique is very hard to maintain, especially in the absence of any natural steroid being produced anymore. So in order to keep feeling the way they were feeling weeks ago while they were taking the drug, they do feel the need to jump on it again. Of that majority of users who initially plan to only take one treatment or go through one cycle of the drug, the vast majority of those people continue with second and third courses, and that's where the long-term
troubles set in. How long is the cycle? What time are you referring to?
It can be anything from 4 weeks or just a few weeks of any steroid abuse through to 6 to 8 weeks. That's fairly typical. So it is important for family members and members of gyms to really keep a close eye on people who are changing rapidly at the gym.
Physically.
And just to make sure that they are aware or that they are under some sort of medical supervision or at least comfortable talking to a health professional about the inherent risks of what they may be doing.
Would you like to see as many resources poured into steroid education as ICE education, be it ads on TV, be it education in schools, whatever it takes? Would you like to see that pushed more?
I would definitely, Nicole. I think although ICE is far more closely associated to the sort of antisocial behaviour and the violence and that sort of thing, but in comparison to steroids, I think that the long-term consequences for the young men of today are far more dire, because when we can encourage people to discontinue ICE use or discontinue any other drug and support them through that process, but really once a user of steroids has been through a few repeated cycles of this abuse, it's almost unsafe for them to come off of the drug, and that's where the medical or healthcare professionals really need to get involved, or potentially it might even be too late then. So we really need to nip this a little bit earlier in the process.
And, you know, with social media and everybody wanting to take selfies and put themselves looking brilliant without their shirts on, okay, the body beautiful, it's there, but if you've got to weigh it up, don't you? And it's hard when you're young and you think that you're going to live forever to realise that what you're doing now and how great you're feeling now and how good you think you look now, that in years to come you might not be able to have kids, you might get osteoporosis and you might have a weak heart and you might be infertile. So there you go.
I think it's undeniable that social media is playing a role now, and we are living in a completely different time. It's far easier to access images of the people living in the same street as us who look like the bodybuilders of yesteryear now and feel like that's the new social norm. So there's definitely something that needs to be addressed, at least starting the discussion the way that you have today. That's
Good stuff. Look, thank you so much, Dr. Donna. I appreciate your time this morning and just getting the message out, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Steroid researcher, PhD grad from Griffith University, Dr. Dan Donna. It is now 7 to 9 Queensland time.